Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Big Visky, Bro, Me, Ghost Podcast in the building.
We coming for you, nigga.
You see it on his shirt. You see it on his shirt. You see God it on his goddamn shirt.
R.I.P. Sherry.
Yeah.
And Gene.
Me, Gene Oakley. We in the building today.
Me, you know, woo, Gene.
Woo! Giving you all our sports takes today. As usual, our weekly episode, we popping off. Oh, always remember, you always remember, look.
What are you? What are you going to do? Ooh, like, right there.
Come support the show. Hit up your boys. Let us know what you think. Feedback. We love it all. We have a great show for you guys today. AFC predictions. We got to talk WWE, who we think might be the firstborn 90s champ. NBA. We got Luka. He pulled the Zion. He went on his weight loss journey. You know, we got to see if this will affect him any. MLB. It was a lot of trades went down. Even a team kind of getting beat over the coals, you know, for 38% of their roster. But we'll talk about that in a minute. So, first, guys, to lead off the show, we have to talk a little bit of this good old NFL AFC East predictions. Now, guys, the AFC has been something. Been Buffalo dominated.
Yeah.
Buffalo dominated.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Just think it's just been Buffalo dominated so long.
I mean, the no one circles the Lakers.
Yeah. Bills Mafia has been in effect, but I must talk to you guys, bro. So, what I got to talk about is, look, a Buffalo, a Dolphin, and a Patriot all getting on the jet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, walk with me. Okay. I believe that these three are going to ride the Jets to any destination that they want, because I don't see the Jets being a viable team. I don't see them being – I see them maybe being 500, maybe slightly above 500. I don't see them being all that. I think Buffalo going to win out again. I think the Patriots will show up, though. They may, you know, surprise us. And the Dolphins are going to be, you know, dependent upon how good Tua can actually stand up and keep his cradle cap on. Isn't that what it's called, cradle cap?
Nah, that's babies.
That's what it reminds me of.
Guardian cap.
Oh, the guardian cap. My bad. My bad, dog. Look, it looked like a cradle cap. It looked like some shit kids put on him.
I mean, the cradle, because we were just talking about babies before the show. Like, ain't the cradle cap is like the shit that's up here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's all soft. That soft spot. Yeah. You know, like, shit to dip in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he got something like that because of all these concussions. He might have something like that. I don't know. But he needs something, though. He needs something to keep him upright. I don't know what he's going to do, but hopefully the guardian cap can help him take a lick and keep on ticking like a Timex. Now, with me getting that out the way, we must remind all of you guys, we wanted to fire Mike McDaniels before it was cool.
Damn right.
Rob, go ahead and let the people know why we wanted to fire Mike McDaniels.
So we've been on this train, and if you guys have been going through the archives, you guys have been watching this show for the longest, because we've been around. We've been around here basically wanting Logic, a.k.a. Mike McDaniels, to basically be fired for the longest, because he ain't making it happen. Whatever you basically feel like you think that he's doing, he ain't doing. So when Tyreek Hill is healthy, when Tua is healthy, when all these things align, he's a great coach. He's got this whole thing running. As soon as one of them niggas get hurt, oh, I don't know what's going on. Like, man, what's going to happen? Like, what? That's the thing with them being with this coach. It's like, he's Miami. when everything is nice and pretty and all this flashy and shit, everything is cool, man. Looks so great. It's like neon lights. It's spectacular. But when it's basically this nigga is put up to the test, when it's nut cutting time, it's like some reason, something's like, oh man, I can't do it. I don't know what's going on. And so that's why we've been, everybody's now more on the Mike McDaniel trade because, or Mike McDaniel train, because essentially it's been another, you know, change of scenery. It's been another change of leadership, or it's been another like way that we're going to go about and do things. I think that I remember hearing a story that, you know, basically trying to hold cats accountable. Like if somebody get a false start, everybody got to do pushups. Like it's fucking Pop Warner. Like it's, he don't know what he doing. He was a guy that was a great coordinator that was under Kyle Shanahan. He basically put a system together that made Tua look better, made Tyreek Hill look to form like he was in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But overall, this is something that basically I think they got to move on from. I think that they have to get somebody else there that has some more experience. You know, I know Brian Flores ain't going to probably come back there, but they need somebody that with head coaching experience that basically has been doing it. But I'll just want y'all to know that we've been here first. This is our stake. This is our flag. If you look up on the moon, that's our fucking footprints. That's what I'll just try to basically let y'all know. We've been on the beat first with this, dog. Like, so y'all coming up here, y'all got to basically check in like y'all coming through our city. Like, that's what I'm just saying. That's all I'm really trying to put out there.
Look, fire Mike McManus. I know I usually don't call for a man job like this.
I'm a call for that man job because he just ain't that good. And I think he got to ass up his spot. Like, granted, looking at this team, it's like they have pieces, you know, like they have Chop Robinson. They just brought back Minkah Fitzpatrick. Tyreek Hill is still there. Tua is still there for right now. Like all they, you know, Devon Achane, you know, they still got Jaylen Waddle. They still got people and pieces. It's just, it seemed like if one of those pieces goes down, it seems like the whole fucking thing goes down. It's like a house of cards. That's what I think that's a product of coaching. You can't basically figure out what to do when shit goes wrong. Like Mike Tomlin usually has a whole bunch of injuries. He's basically had patchwork quarterbacking since Ben gone. But he's been making the playoffs or having winning records. Seems like Mike McDaniel can't do shit like that. I just don't think he's a head coach. I think that he needs to basically take a step back, become a coordinator again. Maybe he becomes like a Raheem Morris, where basically he gets another chance again. But I think this ain't for him.
Biscay, are you on the train with us to fire Mike McDaniel down, man, in Florida?
I want to play devil's advocate for a little bit.
Go ahead, play.
I'm not too sure on the fire Mike McDaniel's train just yet, because how are we going to fault the man for not having all of the pieces? This is what I noticed. One thing, if you want to fire somebody, defensive coordinator. He needs to go, because when their offense is on fire, the defense is letting the other team come right back and score. And we need a better number two wide receiver in Miami, because Jaylen Waddle has showed me he is not ready to step up to the plate. I've seen it. Too many drop passes. I don't know about the route running I've seen. Jaylen Waddle has not stepped up when he is needed. We shouldn't have to have, you know, we shouldn't have to have Tyreek go and get 300 yards a game when you got somebody like Waddle who's supposed to be, you know, a great number two. A Devin Achane, he going to do what he do. I like what he do. Boom. You know, if Tua is healthy and everybody's healthy, the offense is clicking. My only issue is the defense. They don't back up the offense. And Jaylen Waddle, he's not enough of a distraction to even free up Tyreek. Even if that was the case, you know, everybody know Waddle, he's some timing. And I need him to be all the timing. That's what we need. So I don't really feel like I want to fault him if he's always having to play with injuries, you know. So But when it's healthy, it's clicking. Because let's face it, when you got main pieces gone, it's not going to work out like you planned. It's not. And I think we ought to give them a little grace on that. That's my take.
I would say it's been back-to-back weeks, like between Jalen Milroe and then Waddle this week. It's like you do stay objective about your former tie. Like that is the good thing about, I would say, with you. Like you basically be like, nah, man, he ain't cutting the mustard. Like you stay on that.
Mm-hmm. The only excuse I'm giving him is
good. Yo, Lord, I ain't about to I ain't blowing smoke up your ass just because you played for my team. Shoot.
I got you. Look, the only thing I'm going to give you is the fact that they had lackluster quarterback play at times because Tua wasn't there. And come on now. Like, Skylar Thompson. She's the quarterback.
Damn. But that goes back to like, okay, they can't trust this sort of quarterback to stay on the field. You know, again, another former Crimson Tide. Like, you can't really trust him to stay on the field. But the thing with Kyle Shanahan's offenses and basically where Mike McDaniels was coming from, I keep saying Mike McDaniels, keep adding an S like I'm an old black man. Like, where Mike McDaniel came from is supposed to be to where even if the starting quarterback goes down, the system is enough to basically be rolling. Because think about it, Brock Purdy was the fourth string quarterback on that team and has now got buku payment because he stayed within that Kyle Shanahan offense that basically accentuated, you know, everybody except for Trey Lance, it seemed like. But like, that's the thing, is like, Mike McDaniel is not somebody that can do that and basically make things happen, but he also is like, he can't make it at all happen, it seems. Like, he's supposed to, they brought him in because he's supposed to be on a different standard than what the regular coaches were, but that standard ain't really working out, or he's not living up to it.
Mm-mm.
So, I just want to point this out before we move on. I'm gonna give you guys a guess because I pull the stats. So, how many touchdowns do you think the other three quarterbacks that were not Tua threw last year?
How many touchdowns was thrown?
Yeah, between the other three
combined.
Yeah, between the other three quarterbacks.
Two.
What you think, Whiskey?
I'm gonna give him at least five.
Nope, three. Wrong. Was close. Nah,
they stink.
Nah, how many times do you think those three quarterbacks got sacked combined?
Ooh, the Miami's line was 12. Bad. I go 20.
You go 20, 20. Rob. How many you said, Vinsky?
I had 12.
22.
God dang. That is insane.
Top of the three interceptions. Shout out
Barry Horowitz.
This team is cheeks. Whenever they don't have a decent quarterback out there, that system is cheeks. It's done. That shit is cooked.
It's too bad.
I'm talking the bacon.
Booty butt cheeks.
Booty butt. It's done. It look. Dolphins, I don't know. Go back into the sea, chase something. Go chase fish, something. I don't know. Anything.
The curse of Brian Flores.
It ain't no curse of Brian Flores. They just ass. It's a mixture of roster construction and how flimsy health wise the quarterback is. It's a lot of things, but I think they need a reset. They need to basically stop what they're doing, pray some niggas, get some assets, start over. But look, I honestly think that'd be the best one.
But you speaking on quarterbacks needing to reset and trade and stuff, I know you want to believe in Justin Fields, and you say we all should too.
Transition. I do. I honestly do. I honestly believe that Justin Fields, I want to believe him. I've as a Vikings fan, I have been wanting Justin Fields ever since he was drafted. On draft night, he almost failed us. I think he was like two picks away. And then basically, who was it? The other team basically came in, swooped in, and took him. What was that team? Whatever. When he was a free agent. Bears? Probably the Bears, yeah. They came in, swooped in, got him. Mm-hmm. Like, when he was a free agent, I wanted us to get him. When it was trade rumors, I wanted us to get him. You know, we had Kirk, we had all this. I have been a fan of Justin Fields for the longest. I know that he has his deficiencies, a.k.a. he can't hit a fucking wide receiver. But be that as it may, he has a physical makeup. He has great intangibles. I saw him play well at Ohio State. So it's like, there is there. But yes, in the NFL, he has not played a ton well. But I do want him to play well. This team that they got right here, they got Garrett Wilson. They got Breece Hall, who's basically on a contract year, which next week we're gonna unveil our all contract year team. So teaser, be stay tuned. But like he basically got pieces that can help him in his first year. He's gonna be with Aaron Glenn, who's basically taking over for the Jets for the first year, former Lions DC. Like, the defense is going to be good, so he's going to have – Justin Fields is going to have opportunities to excel. He just got to do it. And I think we as a people should love redemption stories like this. We as a people should want this young man to succeed, to basically do what Jets quarterbacks don't do, and that's actually do well. Like, we should want this. Plus, he got Tyrod Taylor backing him up. So, I mean, you know, he going to have the homie there. So, like, yeah, I think we want this man to succeed and do well for this team. Let's all do it together. Let's all bring our hopes into this nigga and basically make sure he's good. Let's do that.
You want to see Justin Fields out here doing well?
I mean, I would like to see him do well, you know. I don't really think, you know, his bear. Let's face it, it's the Bears. So, you know, they got a whole lot of stuff going on that I don't really feel like I want to judge them based on the Bears. I mean, the Jets ain't really that much better anyway, but I just feel like he got, you know, getting the short end of the stick on teams. But like Rob say, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, that's good pieces for him to, you know, to make a statement. I did hear he was nursing an injury. I don't know the seriousness of it, but let's hope that doesn't affect, you know, the start of the season. And I hope he get a good running start, you know, because don't they play Pittsburgh first game of the season?
First game of the season.
Aaron Rodgers, yeah. So, yeah, that's – I'm definitely going to be keeping my eyes on that one. So, I'm ready to see that one.
Which is another reason we got to cheer this nigga on, at least for week one.
So, look, I give him week one, but I feel this is Fields of Dreams.
I like that.
We all believe in a guy made a title. Who could not throw the ball. This is what you want me to believe in. You want me to believe in him, the guy who can't throw the ball.
He can go get 200 rushing yards, though.
Yeah, he's got a big body. He's got a lot. He got a big arm. Him throwing downfield to Garrett Wilson. I mean, they got some pieces there. Like, there should be some hope that he can basically come back and say, hey, Steelers, hey, Bears, you didn't believe in the boy. Now here I am in NYC under the bright lights, everything. This is my time, and y'all gonna watch me do all this shit against y'all. Y'all gonna basically feel like, because you're gonna basically go up, y'all gonna deal with that busted ass Aaron Rodgers, and I ain't got nothing to say about Caleb because I probably get canceled. But, like, y'all going to basically have all that, and y'all chose them over me. Me? Oh, fuck y'all. Here's takes this L. Take this other L. Take this L number three. Line them all up. Grind them together. And then, I was going to say snort, but shove it up your ass. That's what you can do. That's what y'all can do. That's what Justin Fields should. That's the energy that he should have.
He should have that energy. But what I need him to do is go practice throwing the ball right now.
That's also fair.
I need him to go practice throwing the ball first. He had a lackluster. And look, it was the one thing Russell Wilson could do that he couldn't do well.
Yeah.
Was throw the ball.
I mean, yes and no. He could do it better. Russell Wilson could. But, yeah.
And better is better. And that's
Mr. one. Mr. Unlimited got limits.
Yeah. Yeah, he do. He getting old. Now he, cause he look, I personally feel like he's expending all his energy being with Sierra. Okay, that's what I feel like he's doing.
Hey, I would.
Yes.
Exactly. At this point in my life, if I was him, I'd be like, you know what?
Might as well.
Made a shit ton of money. I got her. I didn't want in life. I'm doing a bunch of ball ass shit. I can put my energy over there now.
All right, look, nigga. What I said about Caleb Williams getting canceled, nigga. Part two of that is what I say about being Russell Wilson with Sierra. Like, nah, nigga. Him using all his energy making kids. I understand it. We're here. We're here, Russell Wilson. We're here.
Okay? Sure. Yeah, we know where you're coming from.
Like,
do the same.
And coming too. Coming too, for that matter. Sorry.
Look, I'd be like, look, bro. Coach would be like, why you can't run fast? Look, coach, I'm tired.
You see it.
You see what I got at home, bro. You see what I got at home. Don't act like you don't see it. Everybody see it. I'm just saying, it is what it is. Now, from being a Jet to the old Patriot way, how close can the Patriots actually get to the Commanders run of last year? In reality, they picked up a number one receiver, okay? Has he aged a little bit? Yes. Do I think that he might have it in him? Possibly. I don't know. He's been behind Cardi B for a while. Now he's broken up with her. I don't know where he's at, because it looks like he enjoys his time with pink chaos substances and women on boats and shit like that. So he's living his best life right now. Okay. He's living his best life. Now, can he probably get it all together for the start of the NFL season? I don't know. Maybe. But if he is, you have a number one now on your depth chart. You have a number one receiver for Drake May.
Yep.
Now, herein lies all of the other shit. Who is your number two? I think your line is going to hold up because you went and drafted one of LSU's finest. Okay. So your line should hold up. You did get Henderson out of Ohio State, and you do have Terrell Jennings still there for running back. So you can make some noise back there. If your defense is there, you get who else?
Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah. They do have Ramondre Stevenson too out of Oklahoma. Yeah. You have potential. You have a lot of potential. We all know every time we pick up a hand for spades, it's a lot of potential. We might have a lot of potential out here. The question is, am I working with three books? Or do I got six, seven, eight? Run, am I about to run this shit? That's the question that I think the Patriots have right now. So Vinsky, I'm going to start with you. Do you think the Patriots got enough to make a run like the Commanders? Drake May, with what they got, do you think that they could do something like that?
Let me tell you something. I'm going to put this in spades terms. When I look at that Patriots depth chart, I'm looking over across the table hoping my partner can carry us. Because I ain't seeing nothing. That's what I'm looking at.
Not a nutter?
Possible. Not even a for sure. Because, you know, you got, you know, Stephon Diggs and whatnot. You know, I don't know how he going to come back from the whole Cardi B fiasco. He might be wanting to turn into a drama queen in the league. And honestly, I'm just post-Brady Belichick Patriots have not shown me nothing. that I need to be excited about. You know, they just gonna be in the mix, not making no noise, just there. Like a, you know, the redheaded stepchild, just there. And you know, y'all can give them all the potential you want. You know, y'all a little bit too nice for me. Assopolis, that's what it is.
Assopolis?
My boy's Assopolis is what it is. Rob, are you looking for your partner to carry in this space, or what do you see for the Patriots right now?
I guess I'm a little bit more optimistic on this team, even though, like, looking at their depth chart, they got like 8 safeties, which I don't know if that's on purpose or are they trying to like do something like basically, I don't know, start a war or something. I don't know. They just all right, like, let's gather all the safeties together and we'll have Mark. All right. So the Commanders went 12-5 last year, you know, like, but a team that came out of nowhere to a degree to basically get to a spot that we did not see them at, which was the NFC Championship game. And so do I think the New England Patriots can get to the NFC Championship, AFC Championship game, excuse me? No. Do I think that they can get into the playoffs? Yes. I think there is a possible when it comes to them possibly getting to the playoffs, at least in one of these like lower seeds. I don't think that they're going to win the East. The next team that we're going to talk about, I think is going to win the East because that's just how it goes. But this team has talent. They have a number one in Stephon Diggs, especially if he can remain healthy. They have who I like, Jalen Polk, who came out of Washington. This will be his second year. They got DeMario Douglas, who possibly is going to be that number two. Kishan Butte, go Tigers. Like, they got pieces that basically you can be like, all right, I mean, Kendrick Bourne, but he's not from there. But no, like, they have pieces that you can basically be like, all right, this might be better. Granted, it's going to be Mike Vrabel's first year. They got Josh Dobbs basically backing up Drake May. So they got experienced backup who has excelled in the past. They got a nice little defense with adding Carlton Davis to go alongside Christian Gonzalez coming off injury. Like, they have stuff where I could be optimistic on them possibly being the other playoff team coming out of the East. Because I think if there's a possibility of two teams coming out of the East, and they're the only other one that I see.
Okay, so you seem to be the most positive about this team.
Look, yeah.
I will be. I'm kind of like Jarvis. It's a lot of possibilities on this team. Like I said, I think part of the offense is going to hinge upon Stephon.
Mm-hmm.
Is he, you know, is he
going to? I think they're going to roll through him.
They might. But now that we've, you know, kind of gotten what might be the Patriot way or not the Patriot way, the writing on the wall for the Destiny's Child Bills, they need to win the Super Bowl. Rob, do you think that this year could be the year that they win a Super Bowl?
Like, this team has been a survivor. They've been an NFL bugaboo for certain teams. But now they got to take it all. They got to go solo. And when I say solo, they got to be the number one team at the end of the tournament, which is the NFC, which is the Super Bowl champ. They've done it all. They, you know, like I was telling Nate before the show, they doing like the mercy round, first come love, first come marriage. They made the playoffs. They've gotten the MVP. Now comes the baby in the baby carriage, which is the Vince Lombardi. They have not done that yet, but that is what they need to do now. It's only so much time we got to give this dude in Josh Allen, which is, hey, can you win the big one? I understand that there's a Mahomes. I understand that there's Lamar Jackson. I understand that there's a Burrow. But you are supposed to be the dude. You are supposed to be the guy. You are the guy that won the MVP last year. And with Lamar basically going like 45 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, and you still got it. You were the one that basically made it. So are you that dude? Are you the dude that everybody is saying is next up? Are the guy in the commercials? What are you going to do to basically finish the job? You got to win this year, dog. You can't be the bridesmaid so many times before somebody's going to be like, nah, man, you are just property that just ain't really going to be bought. Like, not trying to put it like that, but still, it's like you are the dude that basically nobody wants to follow through on. Nobody can basically say for certain that you are the Super Bowl, you are the AFC representative. You got to basically close this deal, and it's got to be this year, because I don't think that there's going to be any other time that you're going to have that basically you're going to be able to have some level of grace in you not winning the big one. It's time. You got to make it your time. Josh Allen, make this your time.
Visky, I'm going to let you go first while I unleash on him.
Yeah.
Nah. I'm not so hard on Josh Allen, for the simple fact is the AFC has a lot of competition when it boils down to the actual teams that have a chance, a realistic chance of going and winning. Like, as long as you got Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and even CJ Stroud with the Texans, as long as you got them teams there, somebody's just not going to make it, you know, and it's no, I don't feel like it's at fault to him, because, you know, different circumstances bring on different things, you know, of how the teams play and everything. But I don't really feel like you could fault him, because it's not like he's the overwhelming favorite to me to get it done. You know, if you're the overwhelming favorite and you just flopping and failing, yes, you know, then yes, all blame. But at the level of competition that he has to compete against, and, you know, even though he's been almost there, he's tasted it, but he just couldn't, you know, he couldn't swallow, you know. So I just feel like awesome. You can't put all the blame on him. Big pause. You can't put all the blame on him. I feel like the competition is too high def, is too much competition to say, oh, he's for sure should have won it. That's just my take on it.
What did a prophet once say? Because we're all wrestling fans. What did a wrestling prophet once say? To be the man, you gotta
beat the man.
Is Josh Allen just gonna say, I'm never gonna be the man? There's all these other guys just gonna supplant me, and I'm not gonna be the man. Is that the way we want to think about Josh Allen, the guy that we think about as a Hall of Famer? That's the way that he's gonna be? Like, because that seems contrary to how people want to treat him. It seems like they want to basically make him the guy, the dude, but he ain't been the dude, and he can't be the dude if basically you're like, hey, the competition's all there. All these things that are around him are making it to where he can't make it. That don't work together. You can't be the champ but be beaten all these damn times. You can't even book that shit. So like, he's got to be the dude. He's got to, even if it ain't his fault. We've been talking. I had to hear so many years about every Tom, Dick, and Harry talking about Kirk Cousins and how everything got to go right. It's the same thing of like, hey, oh, well, it's this person. It's a Joe Burrow that's in this way. It's a Patrick Mahomes that's in this way. He's got to beat those niggas. That's just the fact of life. Right.
And that's where I'm at, Rob. He has to beat him. He beat one of them. He beat Lamar last year. But Patrick, LeVon, Mahomes, say, nigga.
Or the sex.
Sit your ass back down. Sit your ass back down and you wait. And you, it ain't your time. And I think that this is going to be the story of his career. Every time he got up, Patrick told him, sit his happy ass back down. It ain't your time. He's going to need him to not be in the way for him to get there. That's the only way, because he can't beat the man.
Yep. He's going to be Michelle Williams.
MVPs. Lamar can't get past the man. They have stacked that team in Baltimore to try to deter Patrick Mahomes. and he's like Thanos with the glove and all the stones already. He snapped and tell y'all, get y'all ass the hell about my way. I'm on my way to the Super Bowl, damn it. Move. It's the same thing with Josh Allen. This dude is too good. He is. It's a lot of people who had to weather the storm of dealing with Brady and the Patriots, right? And I hate to say this. It's going to be a similar thing to deal with him. It's going to be the same thing. It's like Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller fought all his life like Miss Sealy against Michael Jordan to try to get to the finals, and then he still had to deal with Kobe and Shaq. He still had to deal with him. He never could get this ring because of this. Do you know what that's like? You fighting every day, especially against Mike. Mike was a killer. And then some 7'1" mammoth of a human being who maybe can't shoot free throw, but he can go get 40 at the basket every night. He tell you, hey man, it ain't your turn. You gotta go out with it, but you never getting your turn. That's a hard
even Peyton Manning was able to break through the Tom Brady, you know. Mm-hmm. Thing, you know, once or twice. So he gonna have to one of these years. He gonna have to eventually break through and make it happen.
Yep. He gotta do something. He gotta do something. But I tell you this, how it's looking right now, Patrick has him and Lamar, and Joe Burrow beat him once, so he got him. He holding him by the hand. But he got the other two in the stroller, and he holding one by the hand, and he walking down the street, and he saying, look, y'all know that this is my time. Mm-hmm. My time. It ain't y'all time. Yep. And he is going to shortstop a lot of careers similar to other people like Brady and Michael Jordan and the Tiger Woods. It's a phenomenon you just got to deal with. Mm-hmm. You just have to deal with it. You either do that or you got to figure out how to best him at his game. And as long as Andy Reid is there with him, it's going to be hard to best him at his game. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but the only other person who wanted Patrick Mahomes was Sean Payton. That's almost as bad as Andy Reid because he knows how to put together an offense. Could you imagine if he had a straight high-powered flying offense? It would be ridiculous. He's ridiculous now. In the year that people should have beat him, whenever he had Sky Moore and them who were out there running with gloves, grease with Crisco, and Travis Kelce and them all had the drops, and he still went and won the Super Bowl. That was the year y'all should have beat him right there. That was the year. But, you know, hey, the Eagles got it done last year. But it's going to be a cost. It's going to be a cost to their team down the road on winning that championship. Because a lot of people going to soon have to get paid. A lot of people soon going to have to get paid out of that. And that's what's going to screw them.
Yep.
That's what's literally going to screw them in the long term. But, you know, sometimes you got to run off the field and you got to enter the square circle, bro. WWE. Now, before we go too deep into WWE, I'm going to go ahead and give us a shameless plug. You guys go ahead and check out our SummerSlam Day 1 predictions on our Instagram. You know that's Bramigo's Pod. You know, you see it right there. You know, go ahead and check out our yeah, nah, or blah on the matches for Night 1, you know. That's just a little shameless plug for me and the guys, you know. So some of you guys might want to see, you know, SummerSlam is up. It's going to be the first two nights SummerSlam, you know. And as you can see, we have some predictions up here. But you guys, blotter. Yeah, it's a lot of blotter. That's me. It's me going crazy with the blots.
But I'm a little surprised they'll be agreed on a lot, though, you know.
I think we got similar tastes, but
yeah. We have similar tastes, and we also know that it's stuff that they just messing up on, and they don't want to admit to.
Yeah,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we here would like to tell you people at home that there has never been a 1990s born WWE champion, you know?
Right.
Never that. So we wanted to say, who do you think will be the first WWE champion born in the 90s? And we all have our little predictions. So I'm going to start with Rob. Rob said, Ilya Dragunov or Bron Breakker. Rob, why do you feel like it's one of those two?
So I love like Ilya Dragunov. I think he wrestles like a demon. He damn near scares me. Like I'm a grown man, know that wrestling is scripted. He damn near scared. Like he taps into a place. He got the red contacts and shit like that. It's like motherfucker scary. So I see him basically beating. If I don't know how long they're gonna go with Gunther, I don't know. I honestly could see Gunther dropping the title to CM Punk tonight. Just a prediction. But I basically see Ilya Dragunov beating Gunther for the world title one day. And I think he's going to be the first. Bron Breakker, obvious. Look at him. Got all the skills. Got the pedigree. He's that dude. Like, I love him. Like, love watching him wrestle. He's pure intensity. Love the music. Love the presentation. Love literally everything about him. So, those are my two guys.
Now, with his predicament being there, me... Bron Breakker, I think easily. Bron Breakker. Look, whenever I think of Bron Breakker, it's a couple things that jump off the page to me. Massive human being.
Oh, yes.
Quite like myself. We big human beings like things. We like to be destructive people. And what better of a person to put over as a WWE champion? Seth Rollins is out of the picture right now. We don't know how long Seth is going to be down. Okay. This knee lasted quite some time before he had another issue, but. With that being said, Bron Breakker's the younger cat. You gotta push the young talent, WWE. Mm-hmm. And also, if you need writers, you have three guys right here. I promise you, we can write you guys segments and stuff way better than what you're doing. I don't know who y'all paying right now, but they not cutting. Look, they getting checks. They collecting checks. They not doing what needs to be done. It's
placeholders.
It's placeholders. Look.
We all have 30 years of expertise.
All of us. Look, they're doing your brand a disservice. Bron Breakker has to be the champ. Bron Breakker is the world. You can compare him to being the world breaker version of Hulk to the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He is super athletic. He is strong. He does things with a lot of oomph and bravado. Shout out to I Have Speed for taking that lick from Bron Breakker. Jesus Christ. Yeah. That was like a car wreck.
Neck snapped back. Like it looked that one looked unreal just for how much he snapped back. I was like, damn.
Did that to yourself? He hit him and he was wearing dress shoes, though. He didn't have all this grip.
Salute to that man.
Dude, wasn't going to fucking be me.
Bron Breakker is that dude. This is who I see. Give Scott Steiner's nephew the real run. Okay? Let him be the man. This is y'all time to reshape this group. I know it's a on-the-fly call, but this is whenever we need to bring in somebody, maybe two people, and let Bron take head of this ship because he does have some promo skills. Mm-hmm. Let him take head of this ship. And do his thing. Now, if you want a suggestion from me, this is just me, you know. Jade Cargill needs the title, and you need to incorporate the one woman into that group, her. Bring in one other person, and you make this group similar to a more formal version of an Evolution-style DX with a woman that can hold her own with men. That's also champions, and the big hulking, massive, athletic guy as your champion to be a stable and a new staple in WWE right fucking now. Just listen to me, WWE. Just listen to me. I got it. I got the sauce. Pay me and my niggas $150,000
a year,
and we'll come write this for you. I know what I'm doing. I've been around there. I ain't see whenever Hulk Hogan body slam Andre, but damn it, I've been here since Undertaker been fighting Yokozuna, okay? Okay. And I know what the world wants to see, and I know what to do, and that's what you do. You make Bron Breakker the champion, you bring in Jade Cargill into a stable like that as a champion, and you let them run rampant on Raw and SmackDown and give them just fluidity to go in there and wreck shop at times. Let them be dominant. Let them be dominant. Now, with me getting that ran out the way, the boy Jarvis, a.k.a. Big Vinsky, thinks it's going to be Dominic Mysterio.
That's Tell an interesting why. One.
All right. Being the anti-Dom person I was when he first got into WWE, I must say he flipped me around. Pause. He flipped my mindset around 100%. Yeah. Shut up, Rob. he did a whole 180, bro. Like, I don't even think he needs a stable anymore. Dom has he has made himself known. I feel like he could pick right up on the lie, cheat, steal gimmick with Eddie Guerrero. I feel like you could do a lot with him. He's good on the mic. He has the wrestling skills he's developed. He's developed his character, his persona, and everything. I feel like Dom has what it takes. Just listen to the pop when he won the Intercontinental title. The crowd went crazy. They liked him as champion. Now, he could be a global star. They're already going to use him in AAA. I see him winning a AAA title. So,
ooh, that'd be nice.
Being that he has the charisma, he's a big draw with the fans. He could do a lot of heel, and I feel like he's ready to go on his babyface run because now he's getting fierce. He's not getting booed out of the building. So he can go on a babyface run now, you know, turn on Finn or, you know, whatnot. You know, and I feel like that could be the man, to first 90s born person to take the title and run with.
He got bigger it the heel, all right. Bigger the babyface. No, that's a good argument.
Yeah, that is a very good argument for him. And Dom is another good option. He is. We have solid options for people who can do this. WWE, listen to us.
I'm really loving Dom as Triple A champ. I didn't even think about that. Like him beating Vikingo, like he's got that juice. So yeah, I'm ready. I want that now.
Now, Dom being the biggest of the baby faces, possibly. Last night, I feel a double turn incoming, guys. If you watch the promo with Cena and Cody Rhodes, this screams double turn. Cena going back face, Cody going heel. We've seen heel Cody at times earlier in his career in WWE. But this is his chance after being, I must say, wasn't that all of an impressive title run in WWE. Let's be real. I know there's going to be some of y'all going to say, but he was so good. Look, motherfucker. I understand what you're saying, okay? But nothing about his run was that impressive. Just be real with yourself. Take a step back, look at what he did, and be truthful with yourself. Was this really that good? Was this Stone Cold levels? Was this Eddie Guerrero lie, cheat, steal levels? Where was this at? Because I don't think it was there. Cena all of a sudden finding himself, you know, and becoming unselfish in this promo, and Cody not really saying anything, and Cena getting all of the cheers from the people, it showed you that the people, they weren't against heel Cena. Some of them would boo, but they were ready for John Cena to be back. And now he's back, and the crowd exploded. And it's like, WWE, you was pulling people heartstrings, and now you're giving them back what they want. And now probably merchandise probably shot through the roof last night with every little kid saying, "Mommy, I need every color of John Cena's The Last Is Now shirt." And somebody's mom probably did it for him. Mm-hmm. They probably popping off and they did it for him. But this just screamed double turn. I think Cody's going to try to do something dirty, and I think Cena's going to figure out how to retain, or this is something that went through my mind after watching this, and I just remembered this, and I'm supposed to write this now. I could see Cody doing something dirty and R-Truth making a save for John Cena. And that happening, because remember, Truth loves Cena whenever he's a babyface, and I could see him helping him. It's just an idea. It's just a thought. And if you don't do that, I gave you a bad idea, WWE. Just always remember, I have the superior intellect of everything you have in it, right? Everything. But how do you guys feel about last night if you saw the promo?
So I didn't see the promo. I saw the reaction. I saw like somebody say something about like him going back heel, going back face. Like it'd be interesting if they did it that way, just because of how much they had been going with Cody being a face, and yeah, like him doing a lot of just press runs and does stuff like that. I'm good with seeing it. I just don't. Cause I know, like, I know, Cena, I think, wanted to be the heel, especially going out, just because it's like he had spent so much time as a babyface and still was doing this. So, unless they were like, "Hey, we've done it. It is what it is, and now we want to change back," it'd be weird. But I'd like to see where it goes, though.
What do you think, Biscuit?
There was one particular thing that stuck out. That made me feel that we might can get a swerve, and it is in a double turn. He mentioned about being the only rapper, right? So what if it's all a swerve, and he comes out as the Doctor of Thugonomics, and that could be his big swerve? I'm still here, like, nah, I'm still taking the title. You know, come out with the chain, the Doctor Thugonomics music, and then. Also, that could incorporate R-Truth, because he said the rapper, you know, because R-Truth was a rapper, you know, well, Ron Killings now, as he calls himself, that could still be a thing to get involved, because I still feel like R-Truth needs something, and have them two go at it one more time while he's Ron Killings would be dope. So I feel like it'd be a big swerve, you know. I feel like at this point, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. To see which way they really go.
Yeah. This is going to be something very good. And I also, I'm going to say this again, and me and Rob said this many times, and we've even said it while you've been here visiting. We're going to rule the day that John Cena walks away. And we have to depend upon somebody else.
Yeah.
This is why I'm telling you, WWE, hire me. I can set up your Bron Breakers. I can make this profitable where we don't fall off, because you're not doing it fast enough. You guys are horrible on calling audibles on the play. Y'all are horrible. My first audible, as soon as Seth would have went down this, I need to figure out how to get a third person in this group and make Bron Breaker the head. I need to do something right now, because the pressure's on, because Seth is gone. Which, I don't know if you people notice, every 5 years, Seth has gotten a group of people. Just I don't know if that's WWE time or not.
WWE. It is weird like that.
Every 5 years, he has a new group of people. Okay, so maybe that's just what they do with him now. They're like, "Look, Seth, we need you to be the front man for some people, or in a group. Work this." But all in all, this is going to be an interesting SummerSlam, especially being 2 days. And WWE, don't think that this two-day format shit is going to work for everything. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because you got a history of, we did it with one thing, and now we're going to do it with something else. And y'all going to try to do this more often. Don't do this more often. I don't want it to be 2 days. Let it be 1 day. Some of these things.
Give me back the 10-hour pay-per-views.
Give him back the 10 hours. Nigga, we went to WrestleMania that last time. I was like, nah. Two days would have been much better because I was like, I don't know where I am right now. Like,
yeah, that's Robinson, I'm in the Xander zone.
It was.
I sat there from like two. I sat there from 2 to 11.
It was, yeah. It was something like that. It was like straight up like a long fucking time.
Now I need a lot of liquor if I'm gonna do that. It helps the time pass for me. It helps the time pass. Don't drink and drive, kids. Now, we're not drinking and driving to people on the NBA courts. We must talk about the NBA. And in the NBA currently right now, Luka pulled his eye. He transformed his body. He has gotten things going. What do you feel about this Luka weight loss? Rob, how do you feel about this?
So I saw the like Luka picture and I was like, it was like instantly in my mind. I was like, you're trying to pull a fast one, ain't you? And it was like, well, it was really more because it was like Luka basically, you know, he wasn't, I guess he's a chubby guy. He's a bigger dude, but he's not like, say Jokic, where it's like he's just nothing but blob. Like he just seemed like he just got a little bit more heft on him than other cats, you know. But no, like I saw this picture with Men's Health, and it's like it was just like, okay, this reminds me of something. And that's when I was like, you know what? He slimmed down. He's done this, you know. Like okay, like he's been working out in the summer. When have I thought about a time when somebody was working out during the summer and they basically, you know, said that they were going to be changing because people were talking about how they were and their physicality. And it popped into my mind. This is literally what Zion did. Like Zion basically had it to where it was like they had that picture of him at the New Orleans facility, he had the mask on. It's just like, it's like, come on, dog. Like, you know, you gonna do this to me again? Like, this is like, you know, if my grandma said, like, nothing, like, time don't change, just the players, or the game don't change, just the players. And with these two players, it seems like it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna work out in the summer. I ain't gonna call me, you know, no fat ass Kelly Price no more. Yeah, here's the picture right here. Like, he came back like, all right, I'm gonna look fit and buff and all this kind of stuff. No baby fat on me. It's like, nah, man. It's like, this is just what this is. And granted, this season that he did play, he did have, like, he played like 61 games, which is the second most in his career, but he was out that whole next year, you know? And so the thing with Luka is, I don't know if this is going to stick. You know, granted, he just got his extension or his max extension. So it's like, he's going to get paid. And even though it's LA, you know, they're going to tax the fuck out of his
shit. Deal.
And so is this going to affect and is this going to stick? I don't think so. I think this is all fiction. I think this is like for the picture, for the gram, for the right now. But I think all this is just fiction. It's just basically for us to look at, talk about, and be like, oh, okay, he did something. But I wouldn't put much credence. Mm-hmm.
So, Vinsky, I propose this question to you. Will this affect his game with him losing weight? Because Luka's been a bigger guard. He's been physical. He bumps people. He gets to the rim. Do you think that this is going to affect his game in any way?
I think it affects it positively. I think it increases his speed. You know, he's dropped weight. I think he can move a little faster. Hopefully, he don't look like a traffic cone and go check some goddamn body on the defensive end. Maybe that's what he needs to speed up on.
Everybody thought his day was like,
you can't blame me for wishing, right? Because, like, you know, just move side to side. You know how you boom, boom.
That's what he needs to practice. Shuffle the feet.
But yeah, like I feel like he's gonna get faster. Size wise, you know, I mean, if he's a little more muscular, I think it could benefit. I don't think it really negatively affects his game too much. I still think we get the same Luka. You know, he's gonna be the same production, just maybe a little bit leaner. He'll probably be stronger, you know, and faster.
Rob, do you think it might affect his game? And do you think we're going to see a faster Luka?
Nah. Because, I mean, I don't see him basically now turning into, like, you know, like he cutting and he's like, you know, doing sham guys and shit like that. I think he's still going to play that old man game, like, which that's what I did like about Luka. I don't understand how he could do it, like, where he could basically just – it was like that kind of, like, back cats down to the basket, like, from the three-point line and do all that kind of shit and just move slow as hell like Kyle Anderson. Like, but he made it work, and I think that that's still going to work for him. I just think he's going to put back on that weight. Honestly, I think, and it might be better for him too. Because I mean, the defense shit—that's a want to, not a, you know, a health thing. But like he he just got to get that level of that. And if he can do that, like, you know, you can. There has been cats that have at least improved to an extent on defense, like James Harden, for example. Like, yeah, they could get at least marginally better. Whereas, like, you know, he did play in Spain. He playing that Ole defense. You know, like, He might not do that as much, but, and that would help the Lakers overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would. The Lakers can, you know, the Lakers are going to have to work things out. Like I said before, LeBron James is still looming. That salary after this year, if LeBron decides to retire, then we'll have a better outlook of what the Lakers can be. Because they have a lob threat in Aiden now. If he can be healthy and become what he was becoming in Portland, this may be something very good. And then you can see what else you can add to Luka to help him out, to help him along with his progress in LA. But I know he's hating those taxes, though. I know he is hating those taxes.
Especially going from fucking Texas, where ain't no fucking state tax, to the biggest fucking place with taxes, dog. Like, oh my God. I'm probably the only person that hated more is his accountant. Yeah. Or his agent.
Yeah. And on top of that.
Damn, my game check's looking a little small, huh?
Right. Like, I gotta play in Golden State and Sacramento and all this shit. Like, all these jock taxes taking out of my shit. Oh my God.
And he lost that Supermax deal, which was gonna be even more money.
My God. And I said it, like, when he got traded, like, I understand if he just started, like, punching the fuck out of people every day. I'd be mad as fuck too. Cause that is I'm not a money is everything person, but I'm saying money is a bunch of shit person. And it's like that's
I did read though that because he signed this deal, his next kind he would be available next time for a $400 million contract.
Yeah, but that's like 3 years from now, unless he got like an opt-out.
True.
Like if this is a 2-in-1, then yeah, you're right. But it's like he's like what, almost 30 or going into his 30, like, that's a big banking to get like some kind of super max, you know, because you got to make all NBA and all that shit. Like,
that's I'm gonna tell you this. If I was in professional sports, the one thing that I would do at some point in my career, I need to play in Texas or Florida. Okay. And it ain't because I want the scenery there. It's because I want the goddamn no tax.
Which is crazy.
As much as their money as possible.
Because Memphis ain't got no state tax either. And like, nobody would have fucking go to Memphis, it seemed like. Like, that's, but it's no, Memphis. No. I know Memphis is different.
Yeah. It's the hood down there.
It's
a little different down there, Rob. It's a little different.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But he's 26.
They say Memphis, so, I mean, well call it, they say you call Memphis north of Mississippi.
Hey.
That's what they call it.
It's down really 55. Is. Like, it is a special, special place.
It really is. Now, on tower. Favorite and final thing right now. I know my favorite thing. The MLB. And the MLB was MLB another day before the trade deadline. Boy. And I'm going to let Rob go ahead and get this one going right here. Blue Jays. He's so proud of y'all.
I really am.
So proud of y'all.
Like, y'all really don't know how proud I am of you. Like, y'all not kin, but y'all kin enough. You know, like, when I basically talked about y'all earlier in the season, I was like, y'all the vibes team. Like, y'all was signing, you know, Max Scherzer. Y'all was going out and getting Certicast. It was just like, I'm like, y'all going to basically be like, all right, we not going to just go ahead tank. Or we ain't going to be, you know, like, hey, we've been the fourth seed in this motherfuckers in the AL East, which y'all usually are. Y'all like, nah, we just signed Vlad Guerrero. We gonna go for some shit. We gonna catch some heat, and we gonna basically show the rest of this division that has a hot Red Sox team, a hot Yankees team, the Rays that are decent or that always is solid, and then the Orioles who's failing. But like, in which only 10 games on the hot 500 for them. But like, y'all basically showing out, y'all 64-47, tops in the AL West, AL East, tops in the AL, tied with Detroit right now. I got nothing but love for y'all. Y'all said, fuck Rob, whatever he talking about. And y'all basically said, we're going to be one of the best teams in the American League. And I really can't say nothing but thank you. Thank you for paying the homie Vlad. Thank you for basically showing out this year. Thank you for giving some more, you know, like triumph just to watch, even though y'all basically beat the fuck out of my Cardinals. But like, y'all basically are doing the damn thing. All right. Y'all, I'm proud of you. Like, y'all the homie. All right. Keep doing your thing. Keep your head up, homie. Keep doing you. You do you and do well. All right. I'm just saying, I just wanted to let y'all know that. Okay.
And this leads me to say this. MLB trade deadline. I'm so proud of you.
Same.
You showed me everything that could happen in the MLB, including teams getting messed over, which I'll get to in a moment. We'll get to that in a minute. Seattle went out there like thieves in the night. Seattle said, look here. Hey, Arizona, peep this. I don't want both of them at one time. We're going to do one deal for him. And then we're going to do one deal for him. And went and stole Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez, who is young and was an all-star.
Yep.
And added them to Seattle. And if we can flashback and you guys go look at our MLB preview episode, the one thing me and Rob said was the Mariners got everything except some offense.
Except. Yep.
And they said, we heard you guys. We gonna add not one bat, but two bats.
Two.
On top of our switch hitting catcher having the craziest season that he could have right now.
Leading the league in home runs.
Leading the league in home runs. Julio Rodriguez still being Julio, trying to come around. His bat is on and off. He's still playing defense. And their pitching staff still being solid. Mariners, y'all did a lot.
Y'all did a lot.
And I got to give y'all that. Y'all did a lot. And you know what? I think that they're going to make the playoffs, Rob. I think that they're going to make the playoffs.
What?
I think that they're going to make it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're about there. Let's see. Yeah, because I just closed the tab out. But yeah, no, I mean, they about. I think they are not far out of the wild card. Let's see. They're 3.5 out of the division, and they're one of the seeds in the wild card. So,
yeah. I think that they might make this happen. I think that they might make this happen. Now, guys, I gotta ask you, what were some moves made in this trade deadline that you guys like, Visky? What did you see that interests you? That people
got interest me. Is the Padres. They made a significant amount of moves on the trade deadline. You want to talk about, you know, Mason Miller. That was a big move. I feel like that's something they need to maybe get over the hump, you know, and push them to that next level. J.P. Sears, you know, he's going to add a little depth to the bullpen also. And they got Ryan O'Hearn. I don't, you know, pronunciation. So
Ryan O'Hearn.
You know, I feel like, boom, that's a significant piece. You know, so like the Padres made the moves. Now let's just see how it work out. You know, when you add to what they already got, I feel like they can make some noise if they get everybody ready.
Yeah, and plus they wound up adding Freddie Freeman from Kansas City, which I didn't think Kansas City would give him up that easy, and they did.
Right.
They're looking. The Padres are pushing.
Yep.
They're pushing. Tatis needs to get his shit together now.
Yeah,
he needs to slump. He needs to get out of his slump, and then they'll really be cooking. Rob, what move did you see that really got you to say, man, we cooking over there now.
Guys, you know I love love. And, you know, when it comes to a love story, you know, like you saw with, say, Ashanti and Nelly, it's about circling the block. And so, like, what the Astros did this week, and they circled the block with Carlos Correa getting him back from Minnesota Twins. I love that. Like, it was, you know, just like we had with Dame going back to with the Trailblazers. Like, it's just one of those things. It's like, oh, man, I remember, man. Like, that's where you came up. That's where you start. That's where you became who you are. And that's why I was like, man, I love that. Like, that was dope. Like, that was like, you know, even though it wasn't like they ended on bad terms, it wasn't like he was like, I gotta leave. It was just like, hey, y'all ain't really paying nobody for real like that. I gotta go get this check somewhere else. Minnesota, really, Minnesota and San Francisco for that matter. But like, yeah, let's do that. But Minnesota was the one that actually got him. And so, like, yeah, man, it was like, damn, like, circled the block. Came back home. Man, I like that. I like that. But the other thing, I do like what the Mets did, basically retooling their bullpen with Ryan Helsley and Gregory Soto, I think, and Tyler Rogers for that matter. Like, I think that's what's going to really help them as far as solidifying themselves and going, getting something to set up. Just like similar to what the Padres did, getting all those, Mason Miller and all those cats to basically fortify their bullpen and give more flexibility to their bullpen. So if, say, with the Padres, with Robert Suarez, if they he's going to remain the catcher, closer, or with Edwin Diaz with the Mets, like, you give at least a little bit more wiggle room for you to basically make the playoffs and or thrive in the playoffs. Also love that the Athletics got the number three prospect in all of baseball in a trade. This has never – the highest that it had been – the highest prospect that had been traded in a trade before this was Eloy Jimenez going from the Cubs to the White Sox. Like, this is big. And, you know, like, I think the Athletics, what they have, what they're building, I love what they got going. Having a young naysayer, Nick Kurtz, and Jacob Wilson, and, like, all, like, Lawrence Butler and, like, this nice group, Brent Rooker.
They have a shit ton.
It's so, so nice. All they need is the pitching. That's all they need. And granted, while they playing in a minor league park, I don't know how much they're going to get that. But once they basically get all that, man, it's going to be nice.
I love that move. And also, I got to say this. Yankees always manage to crack open their checkbooks at the best time. Oh, we got Ryan McMahon. They win got Rosario, they win got David Bednar, they win got Austin Slater. They said, look, we trying to fill in holes that we have. Okay. They kind of like the movie, Rob.
But the thing about it is, it's like, it's just going back to the space analogy. Don't it feel like they added a bunch of 10 of clubs?
They
like,
did.
They added a bunch of pieces that basically is like, I might be able to win a book with this. But I can't think of me winning a book with this. Like, early on, I might be able to, like, a Ryan McMahon, like, yes, that might go. But, like, Bear Rosario, David Bednar, who shit the bed yesterday, Camilo Doval, who shit the bed yesterday.
Yes,
like,
he did.
Like, the moves that they added, that wasn't as good as the Eugenio Suarez, who I thought was a done deal to go to fucking Yankees. I know they were like, the reports was that they didn't want to give up Spencer Jones, but like they didn't get Eugenio Suarez, they didn't get Johan Duran, like they didn't get the top end in the trade market. They got a bunch of people that were right there under there. So like, you didn't get like what they say, you shoot for the stars, you can land on the cloud. They got the cloud of Ryan McMahon, but they didn't get the star of Eugenio Suarez. Yeah. Like, and that's really what I see with the Yankees. Like, they got enough. But they didn't get enough to what they need, especially with Aaron Judge being hurt.
They're going to hope and pray that something can happen for Judge. It's similar to the Astros where Jordan is supposed to be back mid this month. Okay. Mm. Which that's going to boost the Astros offense. They've gotten their pitching. The Astros pitching has been phenomenal. Their pitching can win for them, but getting him back and then getting Carrera back, they're like crazy. And Ramon Urias, they have pulled a lot. Okay. They have gotten a lot done. But as much as we like to talk about all of the ups in baseball, we got to talk about the downs. The Twins got punched in the testicles, okay? And for the people at home who don't understand this, the Twins got shook down yesterday left and right. 38% of their roster got
it's
traded.
It's crazy.
They got shook down.
That's a lot.
They was running pockets in Major League Baseball, Rob. Like, you don't even see that. They pulled them on them and they say, nigga, what you got on my 40, bro? What you got on my 40, bro? And they were like, I don't know, bro. And then they went to Pat. Now, give me him.
Oh, man.
Yo, come on. Let's do that deal. Come on. Don't play with me. I ain't got time for all this today. Don't play with me. And at first, I thought that I would have put the Orioles in that spot because they lost Mullet. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I was like, the Orioles are getting done dirty. And then I looked at the Twins, and I was like, if there was ever a robbery was going on, it was two people getting robbed at the same time, one of y'all was getting hurt way worse than the other.
Yeah.
The Orioles looked over at them and they said, well, that could be me over there, so I'm going to just be cool losing right now. I ain't going to complain. I'm going to let it go. Because they essentially, the Orioles let the Mets add offense. They lost a little defense because Cedric Mullins ain't peak Cedric Mullins in the field, but he's still good defensively. He's not good as Taylor, but way better bat than him. And the Mets kind of needed a little extra offense. Now they have it. You got a bat in Mullins to go out there with Lindor and Soto and whatnot. It's looking kind of good, you know. They look. A lot of teams won, and some teams lost. But Twins, y'all kind of got fleeced a little bit. You know, it ain't too bad. You know, me and Rob talked about this earlier. Y'all was always in neutral. Y'all maybe got the first gear now, but y'all still on the low end. Your car is maybe pushing a little bit better, but you're not going anywhere, Twins. Look, if it was me and this was the and this was the thing, yeah, they're fourth in the AL Central. I'm going to say this, Rob, and maybe not every Twins fan would agree with me, but y'all are kind of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I would have kind of went ahead and unloaded the roster. I wouldn't have gave up Royce Lewis now. No, I'm not saying that.
If you could get something for Royce Lewis, I wouldn't be too far against it. That man cannot stay healthy. We talk about a Tua or something like that. That man cannot stay healthy for shit. Then, and granted, he looks like when he comes back, he looks like one of the best third basemen in all of baseball. But that's for like 2 weeks and then he's gone for like months. So like, It's not, I wouldn't be against if they basically said in the offseason, hey, we're going to get rid of Royce Lewis. I don't know what they, like, looking at, like, their prospects, they got a bunch of, like, so Twins, y'all do have, like I think I saw, like, six top 10 or top 100 prospects. So, you know, that's at least what you could say as of right now is the silver lining. But, and that's included Walker Jenkins, who looks like he's going to be up next year, the number 12 prospect. But, like, if they can basically trade away Royce Lewis, it wouldn't be the end of the world because he just doesn't play that much for them. It just doesn't work out like that for them, you know.
I'm honest with you. At this point, I think I might have got rid of. I would have tried to move Byron and Willie Castro. I think I would have just.
I would have kept Byron. I think Byron's like he's been there so long. He was the number one prospect for them at one time. I think that's a guy that you got to be like, hey, you're going to be our Kirby Puckett. Like, you're going to be the guy, even though he's had a lengthy injury history. Now that he's basically been kind of righted, like, he's like, oh, no. I would say kind of as a Vikings fan, he's kind of like Harrison Smith. Like, he's the guy that basically has been up there as one of those guys, highly touted early on, but a guy that you're like, no, you're going to be on this team until you're done. I think that's what Byron Buxton is.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I would have tried to see what his value was too. He is, as crazy as this is, he leading a team in batting average, home runs, RBIs.
He's been great. Base
percentage and hits. And it's like, damn, it's the only thing we got.
Yeah, he's been holding it down. Like, that's the dude. But yeah, it's like, I think they would have rioted if they would have traded Byron Buxton.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Because even like I think of him like Andrew McCutchen, even though McCutchen did go to several different teams. But like, I think that's a guy that you got to be like, no, you're ours. You came up through us. You're homegrown. You are our dude. You've had great moments with us. You're going to basically retire or twin.
I thought that they might try to move him just because and see what you could get for him. But hey, oh, no. I don't know if you saw this, and this is just like a crazy note by them. Did you see the picture that they pulled out, Pearson? He looked good in his the beginning of his start with like 3 straight strikeouts, and then everything went to hell for him out there. So, I don't know. He's 25 years old, though, so it happens. Now, before we get up out of here, there's one thing that I want to say, and this is amongst us, Bramigos. So, how does everybody currently feel about where their MLB team stands right now in the standings?
You know? Here the fuck you go. See these guys, bro. Like we was having we. Y'all see that y'all been here in this episode.
This is a good show.
21 minutes. Yeah, like, we are at 81 minutes, and like 80 of them has been harmonious. And then this one motherfucking minute want to come down, all right? Like, and then just spew hate, spew just this bullshit because somebody got a contender. Right. And added during the trade deadline instead of subtracting. Like, he ain't had to do that. Did he? Put it in the comments.
I hope y'all lose 10 straight just for that.
Hey,
I hope y'all lose 10 straight.
Make it 12. I want your shit to say L10.
Hey, I can lose 12 right now, and I'll just be tying the amount of losses that your team has right now, Jar.
See. Damn. Got thy ass.
You know what? I'm gonna come on here next week and I'm gonna wear a shirt that say anybody but the Red Sox. That's gonna be my motto for the rest of the season. Anybody but the Red Sox.
Hey man, I don't know why you gotta be like that, okay? Because I had your team being up there. I had your team being up there at the beginning of the season, you know.
You started it.
Don't shake down like
you rub it in. Exactly. He started it, but he want us to be cool about it.
Nah. Right.
Nah. Hey, I was stepping my faith of being a middle of the road to bad team at the beginning of the season. I just so happened to be up, and everybody else is down.
But we was talking about your praises. Y'all gave us Blaze Jordan. Thank you, by the way. But like, yeah, like y'all, it was like, hey, you don't know how this shit gonna go. It's still the Red Sox. Like, you don't, like, y'all still got that lovable loser in y'all DNA somewhere.
It's bound to happen.
I'm third right now. I've been winning.
Like, we ain't worried about past. We worried about present.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. We on a roll.
Yeah, roll y'all asses away.
Nah, because I didn't beat the look. I done beat the Twins in 2 out of 3. I done beat the Astros the other night. I'm looking to do it again tonight. You know? And oh, I man. Actually took 2 off of the goddamn Dodgers.
Yeah. Nah, y'all got a hell of a team. Y'all should be built to win. Just y'all got to follow through and do it.
As long as nobody poaches us. As long as nobody poaches us in the long run. I feel like somebody's like, we're going to poach them eventually. We're going to do them something serious. And God damn it, I should have took Paul Skeens for more than, how many did not taking for? Because he has 8 strikeouts right now in 6 innings. Paul, getting it done for me, baby. But you guys know we are Bruh Migos Podcast. We're here. Remember, you always must like, subscribe, tell your people about us. You know, just remember, bam, it always pops up just like that. You gotta like and subscribe. Remember to tell all of your people about us. What do you guys want to say before we get up out of here?
You go first, Vicky.
I go first. Happy SummerSlam weekend. You know, I'm about to get into it for 2 straight days. I'm about to put on Peacock as we speak and watch, see any pre-stuff going on. Y'all enjoy. You know, come back next week. We'll talk about it. Y'all have a good weekend. Good weekend. There it is.
What about you, Rob?
All right. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Of course, like, subscribe, hit us up on the socials. Put stuff on there whenever. Shout out to Alexis Littlefoot for the shirt. I think she's wrestling now. I don't know if she's still wrestling. I know she was talking about retirement, but yeah, no, shout out Alexis Littlefoot for the shirt. What else I gonna say? I truly forgot now. The Speedway Classic is coming on tonight. Yes, it is gonna be cool. Bristol Motor Speedway is literally going to have a game, a MLB game played on the NASCAR track. So check that out along with SummerSlam. But that's it. That's all I got.
Which is crazy work. That is crazy work to be out there. But with that being said, we're about to go ahead and get up out of here. Peace.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bruh Migos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.